Hello, you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with the Prescott Daily Courier for Sunday, February 16th, 2025. I'm Flagstaff volunteer reader Catherine Hammond. Front page articles include new leaders at Salvation Army in Prescott excited about first ministry assignment, GOP legislator spars with governor over early ballot procedure, and Bradshaw Mountain Middle School principal to resign at end of year. New leaders at Salvation Army in Prescott excited about first ministry assignment. Brian and Emily Reed's outlook, collaborative spirit, hailed as beneficial to meeting community needs, by Nancy Hudson, The Daily Courier. The Salvation Army in Prescott's new leaders are something of an anomaly at the local nonprofit agency. They are young parents embarking on their first ministry in a place both needed to look up on a map. The Oklahoma natives, Ryan and Emily Reed, are quickly adapting, reinvigorating existing programs and building relationships and collaborations with other local nonprofits to serve the most vulnerable and impoverished in the community. The couple was deployed to the Prescott chapter 1 month after completing 2 years of Salvation Army seminary in June. With 6 years of Salvation Army social justice and service, the Reeds count this ministry assignment as nothing less than God's handiwork. They are the first Prescott Corps leaders in many years who are at the start of their career rather than nearing retirement. The couple celebrated the birth of their second child, Judah, in November. Their daughter Sophia is 4. God called us to ministry, Brian Reed declared. The couple's Salvation Army roots run deep indeed. The two met as part of a Salvation Army youth retreat hot air balloon ride in Oklahoma. Brian was one of the youth leaders, and Emily had just returned from a Corps mission trip to Belize. His group for the ride needed an additional person, and she was waiting in line. A romance blossomed. The two have now been married for 8 years. Emily's mission trip to Belize is what solidified her commitment to becoming an officer in the Salvation Army. At the time, Brian was running away from the Salvation Army to pursue chaplaincy in the United States Air Force. Just after they married, Brian was assigned to Tacoma, Washington. Emily was a Salvation Army social worker. When Brian's orders ended, he again was drawn to the Salvation Army, though still wrestling with whether or not to become a commissioned ordained officer. In 2018, the couple accepted a mission assignment to Greece to assist Syrian refugees, many victims of human trafficking and extreme poverty. "It was life-changing for both of us," Brian said of the courage and compassion they witnessed amid constant danger. Upon their return home to Tacoma, they opted to start the process for officer training and seminary. Then in April 2020, the couple was called back to Oklahoma. Brian's mother was dying of cancer, and 8 months after her death, Emily's father died. "It was a bad season of life," Emily said. At the time, Brian was working for the Salvation Army as a maintenance department manager, and Emily was working for a behavioral health agency. They were then recruited by Salvation Army officer friends in Amarillo, Texas. Brian again worked in maintenance management, and Emily managed a family shelter. Unsure of their next steps, the Reeds said they agreed to follow God's will. That proved to be a 6-month return to Tacoma as Salvation Army Corps assistants before seminary in August 2022. "We were just amazed at God's provision," Emily said. In June 2024, the Reeds were ordained and commissioned as lieutenants at a Salvation Army 3,000-guest Congress. It was then their assignment was announced, Prescott, Arizona. With next to no familiarity with Arizona, Emily, then 5 months pregnant, admits she started crying. Desert heat did not hold much appeal. They were, though, promised Prescott would be a plum assignment, a picturesque place with frontier roots and strong commitment toward helping others. They were taught how to properly pronounce the city name, the ending a rhyme with biscuit. So with the Prescott Frontier Rodeo and 4th of July festivities in full gear, the young family moved into their new home, and they say they have no intention of going anywhere else anytime soon. That event painted a picture of what Prescott would be, and it was refreshing to us to see how family-friendly it was, Brian said, noting Prescott's reputation as a retirement community. Culturally, it has lots of similarities to our hometowns in Oklahoma. It's proved an easy transition. As for their Salvation Army roles, the Reeds said that is God's work in action. Every day, the couple said, they are becoming more and more familiar with their clients and finding ways to be of service to this community's neediest neighbors, be it hosting a traditional Thanksgiving feast, thanks to the generosity of area churches and volunteers, partaking in the Red Kettle campaign, the chapter's major fundraiser, providing angel tree tags so that more than 400 children receive gifts at Christmas, or providing both daily physical nourishment and weekly spiritual nourishment. The chapter's winter warm-up 7-day-a-week shelter program that provides a dinner, meal, and shelter for up to 35 homeless men each night from November to March will soon be coming to a close. That program has been at capacity since January, and Reed said the venture includes partnerships with both the Coalition for Compassion and Justice and the Prescott Area Shelter Services. For this season, Reed said CCJ and the Salvation Army opted to do some client shifting to ensure both sober and non-sober clients could be served, given the Salvation Army's requirement of sobriety. They too partnered with Prescott Shelter Services to accommodate women guests. Women come for dinner, and then CCJ arranges transportation from the Salvation Army downtown shelter to the local Pass shelter. They're lovely people. I just can't say enough good things about them, said CCJ Executive Director Allison Leniker. Our partnership has been wonderful. They've made some changes that are not only beneficial to our community, but beneficial to those needing services. Leniker highlighted the winter warm-up operation, now in its fourth winter season. She said the coordinated efforts to make certain no one is left out in the elements saved lives. I think their outlook is a bit different than past leadership, which is not bad, Leniker said. It's fresh and new. I just really enjoy them. On a routine annual basis, the Reeds said the chapter, with a $2 million budget, serves breakfast and lunch to some 70 people daily and showers to at least a dozen people a day. They operate a food pantry that serves 4 families a day, and then on Wednesdays and Fridays, Sprouts provides produce provided to about 60 people a week, he said. They also have a donated clothing shop used by 15 to 30 people a week, they said. The Reeds are also reinvigorating their worship services, rotating preaching duties between them. When they first arrived, the average attendance was 6, and now it's about 30. They now offer multiple women's and men's weekly fellowship groups, including an evening group for working mothers. They started a kids' night on the last Friday night of the month. The first one had 4 children. Now they typically have as many as 16 attend. We're just having so much fun, Emily Reed said. Her husband interjected that their commitment is to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the greater Prescott community. And that means joining hands with others so as to be able to answer existing and future needs given limited resources. We've got to do life together, he said. GOP legislator spars with governor over early ballot procedure by Howard Fisher for the Courier. Phoenix. Governor Katie Hobbs said Friday she's aware that lawmakers intend to send an issue directly to the ballot in 2026 ballot once she vetoes on Monday a bill to move up the deadline dropping off early ballots. But the governor said it doesn't need to come to that. Hobbs said she is willing to try again to reach a deal with Republicans that would give them what they want, a Friday before Election Day deadline for ballot drop-offs, if she gets at least some of what she wants, That is unlikely to happen. Representative Alexander Kolodin said some things on the governor's list, like same-day voter registration, are non-starters with Republicans. Ditto loosening up on regulations about who can bring someone else's ballot to polling places. And the Scottsdale Republican said he's not afraid to put exactly what Hobbs will veto on Monday on the 2026 ballot. He said polling shows that a majority of voters want not just an earlier deadline to drop off early ballots, but also new requirements for people to get those early ballots automatically every year. Hobbs, for her part, said there's a downside to Republicans refusing to deal. She said if they truly believe that changing the deadline for early ballots to be dropped off is important, reaching a deal with her now could ensure that happens in time for the 2026 election. But if the issue can't go to voters until the 2026 election, then the earliest any change could happen would be in 2028. At the heart of the fight is the claim by some lawmakers and county officials that voters are frustrated with having to wait days to figure out who has won close elections. Part of that is due to the fact that people now can drop their early ballots into a box at polling places up to 7 p.m. on election day. But these aren't tabulated until the signatures on the outside of the envelope is verified, something that can't be done at polling places. More to the point, that verification process does not start until county officials first tally the votes cast in person on election day. And in close races, like Hobbs' 17,117 vote victory over Republican Carrie Lake in 2022, it took 9 days for Associated Press to call the race. The key provision of HB 2703, sent to the governor on Thursday, spells out that anyone who gets an early ballot has to return it to a polling place or early voting location no later than 7 p.m. the Friday before Election Day. That is modeled after a Florida law. Those with early ballots still could show up at polling places on Election Day, but they would have to stand in line with others and present identification so that their ballots could be verified on site, eliminating the need for such action to occur later in the week. I can support taking action that would make election results happen faster, Hobbs said Friday. But we're not going to do that in a way that disenfranchises voters, she said. And that's exactly what this bill does, the governor said, which is why it will get her veto stamp once lawmakers send it to her on Monday. The governor, however, said she's willing to give on the issue of the Friday deadline. And she said those offers were made to the GOP lawmakers who were behind the bill. One of those proposals, she said, was to scrap existing laws that say only those who have registered to vote 29 days ahead of the election can cast a ballot. Kolodin, one of the chief architects of HB 2703, said that's not negotiable. It starts, he said, with the requirement, unique to Arizona, that people present documented proof of citizenship before they can register. The whole way the DPOC law works is first they search the databases, Kolodin said. If they can't find the proof of citizenship, then you have a certain amount of time to cure it, he said. You can't have that with same-day registration. And Kolodin said there's no reason for Republicans to give in on that. I know that the voters of Arizona want to make sure that everybody who's registered to vote is a citizen, he said. In fact, the requirement was put into state law in a 2004 ballot measure that was approved by a margin of 56% to 44%. Hobbs said if Republicans don't like that proposal, she had several others. Our position was never that we needed to have all or nothing, she said. We offered several different solutions that would have provided, the governor continued, and they rejected all of them. One of her objections, for example, is a provision in HB 2703 that says anyone who wants to continue getting an early ballot, something now automatic for those who vote regularly, would have to take an affirmative action every year to confirm their address. It also guts early voting, mail-in voting, which has been very successful in our state, the governor said. In fact, more than 80% of the ballots cast in 2022 were from early voters. Culloden defended the provision, saying it ensures that people who have moved get their ballots. It's also a security issue, he said. Culloden, for his part, said the governor was late to the game, only offering up ideas once it was clear Republicans had the votes to approve HB 2703. He also called some of what she proposed vague. And there's also something else. Culloden said Republicans don't feel any need to cut a deal with the governor. And he said that if it has to go to the ballot, the next step after Hobbs vetoes the bill, he's confident the voters will side with the GOP lawmakers and not with her. We've polled all of these things, he said. We've asked people, do you want this trade-off or not? Culloden continued. We know this stuff is wildly popular. We know as much as anybody in politics can know things that voters will approve it. Bradshaw Mountain Middle School principal to resign at end of year. By Nancy Hudson, The Daily Courier. After 2 years as principal at Bradshaw Mountain Middle School, Samantha Opperman has announced she will be resigning at the end of the school year, suggesting her vision for the school is no longer what she thinks is aligned with the Humboldt Unified School District's intended path forward. The 13-year educator who started at Bradshaw Mountain Middle 3 years ago as an instructional coach, following 3 years as an English teacher at a Prescott Valley charter school, the Arizona Agribusiness and Equine Center Early College High School, said she is uncertain where her career will take her next. When she accepted the principal post 2 years ago, she was in the first year of a 3-year doctoral degree program in educational leadership at Arizona State University. Disappointed with Arizona's lack of support for public education, Opperman said she predicts that whatever she does next likely no longer will be in Arizona, giving leadership's unwillingness to make education the priority she thinks it ought to be for all students. She expects she will likely look for employment opportunities where it is easier to affect change. She and her husband, Daryl, the school's current roller hockey team coach, moved to Arizona from California in 2019. The couple have 2 young sons, Luke, 7, and Reed, 4. In the public participation session of the Humboldt Unified School District Governing Board meeting on Thursday, February 13th, Bradshaw Mountain Middle's life skills teacher, Carson Burchell, lamented the resignation of a school leader who he said is revered by faculty, staff, and students, someone who inspires them on a daily basis. In her tenure, Opperman has set high standards and created a positive culture in the school, located on the Dewey-Humboldt border, that this year added 6th graders to the former 7th and 8th grade school as part of a district restructuring plan, said Burchell, who was honored last year by the Humboldt Education Foundation as its 7-12 Teacher of the Year. With a focus on student engagement, Opperman earned district leadership support for the launch of both a co-ed roller hockey team and starting a mountain biking program through the connection with a nonprofit organization as a means to offer students new athletic competitions. She is hailed by colleagues as a creative leader eager to offer incentives aimed at promoting academic achievement. Though the school earned a D grade based on last year's state scoring rubric, Opperman and her team shared with the governing board earlier this year a renewed focus on instructional efforts that District Superintendent Christine Griffin was certain would produce positive results in the coming year and beyond. Opperman admitted that some significant discipline issues required time and energy she would have preferred to invest in instructional techniques and professional development strategies. It takes a toll, she said. After the public announcement at the meeting, Griffin commended Opperman for her willingness to offer students more programs and opportunities intended to enhance their learning environment and experiences. Griffin said that is a legacy of which she should be proud. This year, the district's 2 6-8 middle schools offered new career exploration courses with hopes of promoting more experiential connections for students as they begin thinking about high school and beyond. Griffin said she respects Opperman's decision to discern next steps, given the public education challenges in Arizona that also impact HUSD schools. Bradshaw Mountain Middle is a wonderful school with a lot of history, and the school community really supports it. But in Arizona, Griffin admits, obtaining resources to help any school is something of a tightrope walk. Bradshaw Mountain Middle needs some love, she said. For principal positions, Griffin said a committee will be created that will include Bradshaw Mountain Middle teachers, a parent, a community member, an instructional specialist, and an administrator. She expects applications will be open for at least a month before narrowing the field for interviews. Although the district will not be sending out contracts for next year until March 15th, Griffin said they have received a few resignation and retirement notices. One is the resignation of Humboldt Elementary School Assistant Principal Jennifer Kahn, and the other is the retirement of longtime district Food and Nutrition Services nutritionist Pamela Liuzzo. Griffin said the district will seek to replace both these positions. Birchall was clear that whoever is selected to replace Opperman has big shoes to fill. We all love you and thank you, Birchall concluded. You're listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand. From our website, choose Broadcast, Info, and Audio, then On Demand. Need to know. Joanne Fabric Store in Prescott will remain open. Yellowstone Landscaping cuts ribbon on Prescott Valley location. Dinner Bell Cantina opens on Gurley Street. By Jim Wright, The Daily Courier. Prescott Joanne Fabric Store will remain open as many in Arizona nation close. The Joanne Craft Retailer at 1260 Gale Gardner Way, Prescott, located in Village at the Boulders, will remain open as the company shutters 11 stores in Arizona as part of a closing of 500 of its 850 stores nationwide, according to the company. The closures follow a second bankruptcy filing by the company in January. The Joanne stores offer sewing supplies, including sewing machines and a full variety of fabric, along with yarn and needle art supplies. Also available are such home decor supplies as florals, candles, frames, and more, along with such jewelry making supplies as beads and clasps. Cake decorating tools are available, along with kid-friendly crafts. The Prescott store is open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday. For more information, call 928-443-1803 or visit joanne.com. Yellowstone Landscaping cuts ribbon on Prescott Valley location. Yellowstone Landscaping cut the ribbon for its Prescott Valley location Monday, February 3rd at 8767 East Laredo Drive. The company offers a variety of services, including installation, maintenance, and enhancements, as well as commercial tree care, irrigation and water management, snow and ice management, sports field management, and interior plants. The company uses such environmentally friendly practices as integrated pest management, drought-tolerant plants, and organic options. Services are customized, and the company strives to create lasting relationships with clients through proactive communication. For more information, call 623-810-2079 or visit yellow-stonelandscape.com. Dinner Bell Cantina opens on Gurley Street in Prescott. Dinner Bell Cantina, part of the Dinner Bell Cafe that has been serving food in Prescott since 1946, celebrated its grand opening with a ribbon-cutting ceremony Thursday, February 6th at 321 West Gurley Street. The restaurant, formerly Casa Alvarez, offers a variety of Mexican fare, including such appetizers as quesadilla and nachos, soups and salads, and entrees that include carne asada, pollo asada, pork chili verde, fajitas, steak picado, and more. Dinner combos are served with albóndiga soup, rice, and beans. Also on the menu are a variety of tacos, burritos, and enchiladas. The Dinner Bell Cantina is open from 4 to 8 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays. That's all the time we have for the Prescott Daily Courier. For Sun Sounds of Arizona and Flagstaff, I'm volunteer reader Catherine Hammond. Thanks for listening.